you're so tough. You're so tough for your soul. Your soul, you like it too.
Hello and welcome to Avery Takes, where I get to talk about a specific topic with a friend. And today I'm talking with my friend Siafrodite, awesome human being, financial expert, and just I really enjoy talking to you. Today we're going to be talking about something that I was like, I don't know, but pegging is a really interesting subject, and you know exactly what you're doing, because from your videos they are very eye-opening. So thanks for coming today.
Sure, of course.
And pegging, yeah, like what's your entry, how did pegging enter your life?
Yeah, I mean, Mr. C was the one who got me my first strap-on. He bought it for me in college, with harness, and the intention of it was for me to use it on women. At the time, I was exploring my bisexuality. I had started out, playing with other women. He was joining us, so it was kind of, threesomes that we were doing with other women. And but I'm, I just bias, obviously, to being very dominant always. And he knew that and knows that. And so out of the two women, let's say if one of them was going to top the other, it was, going to be me inevitably topping the other woman. Once we'd gotten past the kind of initial niceties, let's say, of oral and kissing and things like that. And again, I don't like being penetrated, but obviously a lot of other women do. And so this was a way for me to kind of engage, further in a threesome, rather than having him be the only one who penetrates. So we enjoyed that tag team. So that was good, I think, for a time. And then I think even still at the end of my college days, started exploring with men, actually not even just submissive men, but kind of just generally men, even sort of non-submissive ones, just sort of prostate stimulation. I wasn't using the strap yet. I think at the time there was a little toy called the Aneros. It was a very early sort of prostate stim toy. It was small. It was maybe the kind of width of two of my fingers. It was angled in a certain way where you could sort of, put it in and hold it against the prostate, push it a few different directions. And sort of I kind of learned to use that. And a lot of, men got really excited over it. Actually, not Mr. C, interesting. He's like the only one who doesn't like it and never did. And we definitely tried with him a variety of ways because it was sad to sort of see him not be able to benefit from sort of prostate pleasure. But again, every person is built differently physically. So you just have to accept the reality of what it is. I don't, nothing penetration doesn't do it for me, doesn't do it for him either. So, I think part of this was me kind of exploring, again, being a better top or sort of being a better partner, that if men do have this organ, this prostate, why not sort of benefit from it? And the answers are multifold, right, in terms of why men don't benefit from it. A lot of them are cultural, right? So a lot of males think that any kind of insertion, any kind of prostate stim, anything that goes inside the ass is automatically gay, right? So that's like the first problem, right? That even if it's a beautiful woman who's putting in her finger or a small toy, that just because you're sort of being inserted into, that automatically makes you submissive, a bottom, and probably not straight. Mm. So that was definitely a bigger problem years ago. When I was 20 years old, 20 years ago, I think that culturally, men had not come around to this sort of, prostate pleasure issue. Mm-hmm. I would say it's radically different 20 years later in terms of the young people today and their willingness to kind of explore. And then even older people have come along, right? And so culturally, we've just changed as a society, mm-hmm. in terms of the kind of prevalence, I would say, of pegging conceptually and in practice, and people being kind of willing to explore prostate pleasure, whether they're straight or bisexual or gay or anywhere on the spectrum, mm-hmm. right? So, so I think at some point I was certainly using that strap, on women, both, vaginally and anally, and then on men as well. And I've had actually the same harness and kind of strap, my standard size, for all those years, for 20 something years, then obviously acquired other toys over time. As I said, I think, as I have said rather, that I think, the act of being penetrated is something really different, I think, to feel for most men. Because, you have a culture that is sort of phallic in nature. And so it is the penis that is the center of all male sexuality. When you are a teenager or younger and you first explore your sexuality, you masturbate.
Right.
And everything's centered around the penis, right? Very few young boys who are like 12, 13, whatever, you know, masturbating for the first time are putting their fingers inside themselves. Mm-hmm. Most of them are focused on the penis. That's the primary area. So the exploration of being inserted into, being kind of the recipient, you know, is something really different. And it takes, again, that mental shift and being comfortable with that mental shift. And it's different for people from different cultures, different backgrounds, different religions, you know, different like places in the world, right? Where like masculinity, the kind of phallic version of masculinity, is either kind of more or less, you know, focused on, celebrated. And so there's some cultures where people have a really big bias around this, or kind of a like a wall up around it. And I liked, you know, like letting go of that, exploring that with people, showing them how good it could feel, changing their mindset around it. I would always be kind of offering, hey, let me use my fingers, you know, let me be the first person to show you if you like this. Let me touch here, let me touch there. What do you think? You know, that exploration is really fun. And, you know, obviously it's escalated to the point where I peg a lot. I peg a lot of first time folks. I have learned how to relax someone, because it's obviously very mental whether you allow the muscles to relax so that something can enter. Mm-hmm. It's almost 100% mental rather than physical. Very few people have a physical problem with it, but they have to mentally relax. And so the kind of act of doing that and then learning the right kind of positions to put people into, like different bodies, you know, do better in different positions, the right size for someone. I mean, all of that kind of experience that you create, all of that is obviously something you learn over time. Mm-hmm. And so I've got many, many years of experience now doing it. But I think at the crux of it for me is this sort of concept of, again, allowing men to feel like a slutty bottom, you know, through penetration. Although some men don't perceive it that way. I mean, like I said, some men feel like a power bottom, right? They're just experiencing the pleasure, but that doesn't make them any less masculine. Mm-hmm. And some men do take it as an opportunity to feel a bit more femme, you know, in that experience. And so there's definitely different types of reactions to it beyond just the physical pleasure. There's the kind of psychological reaction that somebody has to it and what makes them feel like. And all of those are valid. Like the entire spectrum is super valid. Mm-hmm. And all of those are things that I enjoy.
So with, I guess, your partners, how do you prepare them mentally and physically to relax and all that?
I mean, you know, I think part of it is just knowing they're in good hands, I imagine, right? Because they've obviously seen me do this. And part of it is, I mean, there's a variety of things, right? I do plug people first. Typically I use a plug. And so I use my fingers first, right? So I start with fingers, a lot of lube, very slow. And I'm exploring for kind of like, where is the limit? You know, you put a finger, two fingers, three fingers, you stretch, stretch, stretch. And you're trying to figure out like, are you hurting someone? And then I'm encouraging them verbally to kind of just release, right? Because you know, when it releases, you feel it like the muscle relax. And sometimes some air comes out, you know, people are like embarrassed by that, but it's completely normal. And so, you know, when you get that relaxation, you start to get a sense of whether the person just, again, physically people are different, you know, can they take a smaller plug, a bigger plug? I mean, some people can stretch right away for something quite large. It obviously takes a ton of experience to be able to, let's say, like, you know, put a fist in or something like, or like a hand, you know. But, you know, a beginner person, usually I can get a medium plug in. Then I do some vibration. I use like a vibrator on the plug and a vibrator on kind of all the areas around, you know, like the balls and, you know, around the penis. And you're just, you know, relaxing someone. In a very, very rare instance, somebody doesn't relax as well. And then I use poppers, which is a liquid, right, that somebody can sniff and it kind of relaxes them and relaxes their muscles a little bit. But I tend to stay away from it like 99% of the time, unless it's really, really kind of needed. I think people have worries about cleanliness. So kind of the preparation for, and in some cases I've had kind of, and we can talk about it in the taboo kinks, but, you know, like cleaning, you know, can be a partly a kink. Like if I do that for someone, if I clean them out, you know, with water or what have you. But usually people show up fairly clean. They can kind of manage it. And then I always sort of say, like, it's just part of the territory. Like, you know, you accept that there could be something and somebody's not kind of fully empty. Mm-hmm. And that can get in the way or not. It just sort of depends on the nature of it. Sometimes it's just not feasible to do because it's going to make too much of a mess. And sometimes it's actually okay. And I can sort of like clean them out quick, And then we can keep going, right? Mm-hmm. So that human piece of it, that when people kind of stress out about that and feel kind of insecure about it, is something that you have to surmount too, because anytime you have anal play, there's a risk, obviously, because it is obviously a two-way street, and there's the primary purpose of the ass, right? Which, you know, can always get in the way there. And then in terms of positions, I feel like, again, it really depends on the person's anatomy. It depends on how they kind of hold their body. But there's, you know, on all fours is a way that's possible. Laying on the back and kind of looking up at me is another way. The most sort of challenging people who really are tight and are struggling, I tend to put them on their side so that they kind of are laying on their side. They anchor one of their hips down to the, you know, the mattress. They put all that sort of pressure on the one hip, right? They're kind of laying, like almost sinking into the mattress. And I'll lay behind them. And I'll kind of like spoon them, right? So we're like creating like a little spooning, and I put my knees up behind the back of their knees. And then I'm kind of entering very, very slowly, like in that laying position. And we only do that for a little bit. And then we sort of switch to an easier position where I have more range of motion when they're open. And so then we'll do kind of all fours or again, usually maybe them on their back. Also looking up at me tends to make people happy. You know, because I'm usually topless, right? So they get to kind of like observe me from below. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, tends to help them open up as well.
All right. So that is you kind of helping the person. Are there things a person can do on their end to prepare for it?
Yeah. I mean, I think, like I said, you know, being confident about kind of cleanliness it's actually more important for them than me. You know, I'm a mom, I've got pets. I mean, like, I'm not very squeamish. But you know, if somebody feels not confident, that's going to obviously take away mentally from their experience, and they won't want to do it. Mm. So being clean, I think that's important. So people who kind of like go and buy, you know, like a douche, right? Like a something that they can use, an enema, right, to clean themselves. That usually helps them feel more confident. Mm-hmm. People do ask a lot if they should practice. Like, should they use plugs before they come to see me? And I would say, sure. Like, I think if you're enjoying that, you know, you're not hurting yourself, you're enjoying it, you like the kind of anticipation element as well, then you can. But I've had people walk in who literally have never had a finger inside, and I can still manage. Okay. So it just sort of, you know, it's a muscle, so it closes. So just because you used a plug yesterday doesn't mean there's any difference now when you show up. What it might mean is that you have trained yourself mentally to open for a plug, which means it'll be easier for you to mentally open for me. Mm. But if you haven't, that's also okay, because as I said, I know how to kind of walk you through it too.
Right. Okay. So one last thing that just came to mind, like you said earlier on, that there are people that think or feel just by having anything happen around your anal cavity makes you gay. What do you tell those other people?
I mean, it's exactly what I said. I mean, it's a beautiful woman who's touching you. Like, there's inherently nothing gay about that. And you obviously have an organ, a prostate, right? So, like, why is that any different? Like, why is that pleasure inferior to the pleasure that you get from the cock, right? I mean, you sort of say to them that this is a fake construct. You've kind of created this in your head, right? Like, and I almost encourage people to go back to themselves mentally at age 10, 11, the first time they discovered their dick and started to masturbate, right? It's like you discovered a source of pleasure. You probably got kind of obsessed with it, actually, right? Because you're young, and it's like something that you can do for yourself, which is really amazing. It feels great. And that's where obviously very young, you know, boys, right? Or girls. But, you know, the kind of experience of finding your own body is what I talk about that. I say, like, you found another part of your body now that gives you pleasure. There shouldn't be like a value system, you know, attached to it. Like, this is inferior, that's superior, this is better, worse. Like, it's just your body that God gave you. And you have 70 years on this planet, you get to explore pleasure. Like, why not take advantage of it, right? Yeah. So take advantage of it on your own. Take advantage of it with the partners you want to have. If that partner is always a beautiful woman who's doing it with you, like, there's, you know, there's no reason to think that it has anything to do with your sexual preferences, right? It's just you enjoying your body. Mm. I think a lot of men pass a lot of judgment on themselves. Again, are very difficult on, like, they're hard on themselves in a way that they wouldn't be to their own partner. And so I encourage that too. Like, for example, there's women who judge men for wanting to be pegged. It's not just men. Sometimes there are, I hear a lot about men who would like their partner to peg them, their wife. And when they bring it up, she's really judgmental. And she kind of makes the inference that, oh, you must be gay, or like that this is not normal. Mm. And that's very painful, I think. That's really sad. Because if she, as a woman, and again, think about our society, if a woman articulated to her partner a sexual preference, hey, listen, I don't really get off from being penetrated. Can you go down on me more? And he said no. Like, that's not normal. You know, you have a vagina and a penis should go in that vagina. And if you're not enjoying that, then there's something wrong with you,
right.
You know, and I shouldn't have to like, I shouldn't have to do extra for
right,
you.
Right, right.
We would all condemn him. Like, how can he do that? How can he be so, you know, like unprogressive about sort of female sexuality? But we don't, for some reason, condemn the same way women who are like, well, no, I don't want to penetrate you. And I don't, I think this is abnormal. And like, you know, your partner is your partner regardless, right? And you, when you're there, you should want to make them feel good and happy. And, you know, if it's, especially again, if you're in the context of the two of you together, mm-hmm. if they're asking for something, you know, you want to sort of examine why you would say no to it, right? Or why you wouldn't take their pleasure and their happiness into account, just the same way that you would expect them to do it for you. So again, I think these are cultural and societal sort of norms that we need to keep pushing on, because like, there's no reason that our like, I have a son and a daughter. There's no reason that my son should have to be limited in, as when he grows up, in his ability to enjoy his body. Mm-hmm. I would never want that for my daughter. So why would I want that for him? You know?
Wow. Always awesome talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I can't wait to have you back for another topic. Thank you so much, Aphrodite.
Thank you. Thanks. You're so tough for yourself. You're so tough for yourself. It's all you like it to.